Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a week where the toughest opponent faced by an Australian cricketer was a malfunctioning elevator, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Not quite the night that I had planned. I'm currently stuck in a lift.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and that was Steve Smith, who somehow managed to get himself stuck in an elevator.
What do you think the night was that he had planned? Was it kind of shadow batting in his room?
A lot of shadow batting. I would have thought that he would have been doing more shadow batting while stuck in the lift. Well, it seems like the best opportunity to do it. Instead, he was...
Straight on the Instagram,
doing some kind of funny dance thing where his face was superimposed over somebody else. Then he tracked down Marnus and got Marnus to get him some supplies, so he could, because he might not have survived the hour while he was in there without Marnus.
Is Marnus the one you would text in the Australian cricket team?
Well, I'm not sure he had to text Marnus. I think they've got a telepathic link, so he just sent a message out saying, Marnus, Smith alert.
Maybe Marnus was out there all the time going, hey, yeah, look at this.
Yeah. Or maybe Marnus just stopped the lift. We thought about that. Maybe
someone was out there jamming the lift as soon as he hopped in. Yep. Maybe he hopped in and said, come on, guys, follow me in. And they all just pressed the door so that it would shut really quickly and leave him in there. Well, if you were – what if Marnus – smuggled something through the crack to him, didn't he? He goes, what's this coming from Marnus? Oh, some M&Ms or something.
Yeah, so Marnus got a packet of M&Ms from a vending machine, I think, and just opened them up and poured them through. I don't know why he couldn't just pass the whole bag through.
Oh, it's funnier to pour them through.
Yeah, so he chucked a couple of M&Ms through. M for Marnus, presumably.
That's hilarious. Yes. That amusing, are you sure you're going to survive? What would you send through the door if you were sending some food through to Steve Smith?
To Steve Smith?
You'd have to send something flat. I reckon those little flat sheets of seaweed would be good.
Oh, the flat seaweed. Yeah. I was thinking like a waffle or something you might enjoy.
Yep. Or that chewing gum that comes in the strips, you know, the flat chewing gum.
With a footy card or a cricket card inside there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Marnus should have got a stick of gum with a cricket card of Steve Smith in there so he could just admire himself.
That'd be good.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover Australia retaining the Ashes in the third test.
Well, a lot of people are in isolation because of COVID, and our thoughts are with you. And I wish we'd stayed home and watched the test while we awaited the results of the test.
Yes.
Because we went and it was only barely an hour of cricket we got to see on day three.
I mean, we watched 98% of the test and then we decided, all right, we'll go in and watch the third day, which should have been a third.
We went in pretty
test.
Early on the third day, maybe not quite at the crack of the first ball being bowled, but we were there pretty early, but it was all over.
It was was over. Basically, you had time to buy a coffee, and that was about it, I think. Yeah. So we did spend longer parking the car than we did actually watching cricket. But the test, but before it kind of got to that final day debacle, it started with some quite entertaining stuff when there was footage of Rory Burns and Haseeb Hameed practicing their batting on one leg and with one bat in hand. And no one was quite sure why. There was, you know, it was something about balance. It was never quite clear exactly what they were trying to do. But whatever they were trying to do, Hameed clearly did it better because he was the one who played the test. Rory Burns was dropped.
That's right.
England made, 185 batting first on the first day, which seemed, not that great. And then they somehow conspired to do
still,
even worse.
Still better than expected. Better than expected.
Yes. So Australia's probably the biggest highlight for Australia was, it certainly wasn't Marnus Labuschagne, he of the M&Ms, because he was ranked the number one batter in the world and presumably decided that that meant he could only ever score one run in an innings from then on. So he got himself dismissed for one. But Marcus Harris was the hero for Australia, which was a big surprise because
He stepped up and got a good innings. Didn't he
did
he?
Well. The selectors said before the test that they were hoping that he would do well, which I thought was a very strange way of selecting a team. But you can't underestimate Justin Langer, the power of hope that Justin Langer has,
and George Bailey.
Yeah. They all hoped that Marcus Harris would do well,
and it came off.
It did. I've tracked down some stats. Most of these came from Rick Finlay on Twitter.
Mm.
He passed his 100th career run against England in just his 11th innings. So congratulations to Marcus Harris for that milestone. He also achieved his first ever fifth wicket partnership of his career and his first ever sixth wicket partnership of his career. So it was quite the feat, a record-breaking knock.
Yeah.
And also, of course, he outscored England's entire team in the second innings. So that was a very good effort there.
And Pat Cummins did well too. Mm. He returned.
He returned. He successfully avoided sitting near, a COVID person before the test began, which given the situation is a much great effort.
Yep. You would have had a bigger chance of sitting next to someone who was COVID positive, certainly, in the hotel, but than they would have in the restaurant in Adelaide. But
yes.
He was quite good, and he managed to win the toss.
Mm. And he didn't bat first like so many batting captains love to do. He decided, no, we're going to have a bowl.
Yeah, good work. Always bowl first.
Yeah, it is very entertaining. So Pat Cummins, leading from the front, decided nobody else was taking wickets in the first session. He decided to chip in with three of them himself.
Of course.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah. But, I mean, this was before the England team didn't show up for day two, right?
Yeah. Yes, there was some hesitation about whether they were going to show up because, unlike Pat Cummins, one of them did sit near somebody who was COVID positive and somebody failed the test. So it turned out to be support staff and family members of support staff were failing tests, and all the England players had to pass a test before they were allowed to hop on the bus.
So that gave us Warney, Gilchrist and Vaughney, I think, all sort of padding for time, and it turned out to be quite the comedy routine. So I've got what they said to each other here, and I think Vaughan said, Warney said, I wonder what they're feeling at this time. Vaughan, you're in close contact with the team. And then Gilchrist, not literally close contact, of course, and then a little bit later, we're hoping all the team get around that family member who's positive. Not literally around them, of course.
And so then, very much speaking in metaphors the entire time.
Yep. A couple of beats later, we're hearing that they've left the hotel, so that's positive. Not literally positive, of course.
Fantastic.
That was really great.
Very, very good routine there from the Fox commentators.
So play started half an hour late.
Half an hour late on the second day. So half an hour late on the first day because of rain.
Look, it would have been great if they started half an hour late on the third day.
Yeah.
It would have been better for us.
That was the only day it didn't. So half an hour late on the first day because of rain, half an hour late because bloody of dodgy clocks. Tests, and then on time the final day. So
And Marcus Harris was caught on the stump mic.
Yes, he was.
Calling someone fucking hopeless.
He called Hotspot fucking hopeless. He was given out LBW. He reviewed a decision and Hotspot didn't save him, but luckily Snicko was on hand to save him. So at the end of the over, he went up and had a bit of a chat to Ben Stokes and was like, oh, Hotspot's fucking hopeless.
Good work, Snicko.
Which is a little bit of a pot calling the kettle black for Marcus Harris, describing something as fucking hopeless. But he turned it around, and maybe Hotspot will turn it around in the fourth test as well.
Yeah.
We can only hope. Justin Langer will be hoping for that.
And we can hope that England have another day like they had on day two. They did okay on day two, right? The bowlers came good.
The bowlers came good.
Nothing wrong with the England bowlers at all.
Mark Wood was firing. Yep. Jimmy Anderson was on fire as well.
They were great.
They were very, very spectacular.
They're really fabulous.
Yes, and they made their way to a very deserved first innings lead of negative 82. So.
Anyway, we're not talking very much about England because they really don't deserve it. But no. Scott Boland deserves a lot of talking about.
Mm.
However, not by us because we only talk about funny stuff.
Yeah,
he was seriously fantastic.
He was seriously very good. So yeah, 6 for 7 from 4 overs. Back to the big bash with you, Scott, with those kind of figures.
That's right. Yeah. If you can do it all in 4 overs, no need for you to play Test cricket at all.
Yep. Although apparently he's playing the fourth test. So he's been retained.
Have you got a hotline to George Bailey?
I have. Josh Hazlewood is still not well, so Boland's playing, and Travis Head, who's got the COVID, he's out, and Usman Khawaja, who doesn't presumably have the COVID, he's in.
Fantastic.
And for England, it's Stuart Broad. He's back.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah. So one of the Ollies misses out. I think all the Ollies are missing out. I think England will be Ollie-less in the fourth test. Very distressing.
Well, with the test ending in 2.5 days, there were a lot of terrible jokes going on, and I'll give you another terrible joke. You ready?
Yep.
First of all, I'll tell you about the English cricket team who took time out of their schedule to visit the local children's hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen their sad little faces, said Liam, aged 8.
A classic joke.
Classic jokes.
Hopeless touring team joke.
Yep.
Anyway, good work to England. They're really leaning into this whole death of English cricket thing that inspired the entire premise of the Ashes.
Yep.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by whohastheashes.com. It's your number one website for all important Ashes content. Gives you the key information on what's going on in the Ashes in one simple location, and it is 100% up to date. It's fully updated.
I think it was fully updated within about 2 minutes of the third test concluding.
Yeah, so www.whohastheashes.com.
Yeah, we haven't told you who has the Ashes. You've got to go to this website in order to check it out. Also, Dan gets 1 cent every time you visit the website.
Yes, and also for later on in the year, bookmark whohasthewomensashes.com as well. And, keep up to date on that too.
And by the way, we have Steve Smith in this elevator with us.
Yeah, so that's the end of the ad. We're about to be locked in here.
Let's play. Are you smarter than a fifth grade cricketer?
This is our quiz. The quiz today is for Dan.
Yes.
Dan is versus himself or the ether. And the quiz today is what lasts longer than England?
Okay.
It's a classic. We've played this before in the, I don't know, 7 or 8 years of this podcast. We've a number of times played what lasts longer than, insert terrible team. And it's usually England.
Yeah, very often.
I mean, sometimes it's Australia.
Sometimes, yeah.
So, and this is inspired by another dad joke. What's the difference between the English cricket team and a COVID test? There's a lot of these going around.
Yes.
And the answer, you have to wait 5 days for a result with a COVID test.
Yes, very good.
Boom, boom. And then update, I regret to inform you, the entire English team has COVID. So, there's a dark update there for people who like the darker humour. Anyway, what lasts longer? I'm going to give you a number of things, contrasting things that take different lengths of time.
Yep.
You need to tell me which one lasts longer.
Okay.
So let's start with an easy one. Which lasts longer? England's isolation in Queensland at the start of the tour or the length of time the Ashes has taken to get a result?
I'm pretty sure I read that this one, the isolation lasted longer. They had to hang around in Queensland isolating and it only
took 14 days.
For 14 days. It only took 12 days for them to lose the Ashes.
Well
Great
done.
Work from England.
Yeah, that was a loosener.
Yep.
That's
ready
gone.
For that one. Just smash that straight to the boundary.
Smash that to the boundary. You let that go through to the keeper. Either way. All right. So you smash that one. So you've got one up. Now they're going to get much harder.
Okay.
What lasts longer? Root's average time at the crease so far for the Ashes or Warner's average time at the crease so far for the Ashes?
Oh, God, that's very tricky. They've both lasted pretty well, I think. Root, I think, is scoring slower. So I'm going to say Joe Root.
Joe Root's average time at the crease is 124 minutes. So
a couple of hours.
2 hours for each of his innings. I'm counting each inning separately. There's been 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's had 6 innings, I should say. And Warner has only had 4 innings.
Mm-hmm.
And his average time at the crease is 173 minutes.
Oh, wow, almost 3 hours.
He's almost 3 hours for David Warner.
Good work, David.
So it is, and it's because he made 94 runs in the first test and then he didn't bat in the second innings, 95 and 13 in the second test, and then a fast 38 in the third test. So he, anyway, we're not worrying about runs, we're worrying about minutes.
Yep.
It is, in fact, batting time Warner who bats longer than Root. One all. One to the unnamed. Fifth grade cricketer. So what lasts longer? Rory Byrne's total time at the crease this series.
Yep.
We talked before about how he's only really batted in, he's only played two tests, two out of the three. So Rory Byrne's total time at the crease or the length of time it takes to watch Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, it's got to be. What's longer?
Yeah.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man No Way Home is almost 3 hours, two and three quarter hours. There's no way Rory Byrne's has lasted that long. It only lasted one bloody second at the Cabba.
Well, indeed. Spider-Man No Way Home lasts 148 minutes, 2 hours 28. And Rory Byrne has, in fact, batted for 193 minutes so far this season.
When? Like, are they counting warm-up games?
Brisbane, 47 minutes.
In the second innings?
Two innings. Over the two innings. He hasn't made many runs, but he was out there for a little while. And in Adelaide, he was out there for 146 minutes.
I have no memory of Rory Byrne batting think he more scored than in. I don't 15 think he scored minutes anything. In any given innings. I find this very hard to believe.
I looked up the minutes myself. So, in fact, that's...
2-1 against
2-1
me.
2-1 against you.
Yeah, maybe I'm not smarter than a fifth grade cricketer.
No, well, let's try for this one. This is another easy one. What lasts longer? The Boxing Day test this season or Christmas leftovers?
Christmas leftovers last a lot longer than the Boxing Day test. We still had plenty left over and the test was well and truly done. We came home after going to watch the end of the Boxing Day test.
And had more leftovers.
And had more leftovers.
I think that pretty much, I'm pretty sure this will apply to everyone who's listening. Yep. Boxing Day test, 2.5 days. Yep. And Christmas leftovers always last 3 days.
Yeah,
you're always eating them You're always eating them to almost to the last day of a 5 day test.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's true.
I would say on average 3 days for the Christmas leftovers. You're definitely there. Two all. Okay, got a couple more. What lasts longer? The number of minutes we spent watching the third test at the ground at the MCG versus the England batter that had the longest innings in that test.
All right, so the batter who lasted the longest, well, they did have a pretty good partnership at one point. I'm going to say that...
Do you know which batter had the longest innings?
I want to say Root. Root made 50, so I'm going to say Joe Root had the longest innings.
No, it was Bairstow.
Bairstow can't defend anything. All right, then regardless, I still think that was longer than what we saw on day three.
Correct. Bairstow was actually out there for 126 minutes.
2 hours.
For his 35 off 75 balls.
Good work, Bairstow. I find that very improbable.
It was in the first innings. Yeah. And we were there for, I don't know, 65 minutes or something. So correct. Yeah. It's 3-2. You're up. You're winning. There's three more questions.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Oh, God.
There's three more questions.
Yep.
Okay, what lasts a longer length of time? The average wait in the queue for a COVID PCR test in Melbourne today, 4th of January 2022, the average length of time in the queue, or the length of time that Joss Butler survived in the second innings to make his 26 runs?
Okay, so Joss Butler wasn't out in the second innings. He was, but he didn't last very long. Like he came in.
No, this is one where he batted for time.
Oh, sorry, in the second test.
In the second test.
Oh, okay. Yep. Then he did last a long time in that one. He came in on the last day and batted for, let's say, 4 hours, 5 hours. I reckon a COVID queue is longer than 4 or 5 hours in Melbourne today. Yeah, I'm going to say COVID queue.
COVID queue is correct. So it's 4-2, but the COVID queue at the moment is 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Joss Butler batted for 258 minutes, which is 4.3 hours.
So tight. Quite
very tight, but the COVID queue is longer. So, 4-2. 4-2 up. Okay. What is longer? The total time Ben Stokes has occupied the crease for the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
He's played Melbourne, Adelaide and Brisbane, and he's batted six times.
Yep.
So the total length of time, he's made 17 runs average for the series, by the way, giving you a bit of information. Or... the time it takes to put together a new basketball stand, backboard and ring.
time it takes to put together a new basketball stand. I know for a fact that this takes multiple days. So I don't believe that.
How many hours though? How many hours would that
take? How many hours? 48 hours. I've been watching it happen. So I'm going to say the basketball stand.
Thanks. Well, the basketball, I'm generous. I'm saying the basketball takes 6 hours to put together. And the average time that Ben Stokes has occupied the crease for the series is 8 hours.
The total time.
Total time, sorry. Yeah. Total time, Ben Stokes, is 8 hours. So
I still don't think that the basketball stand's going to be done within 8 hours.
I think you're right. When I put this question together, we were up to 6 hours and I thought, maybe we'll get it done in the next hour or so, but no, I think it's going to take longer.
Yeah.
I think that's probably line ball, but I'll give that to you, I think.
Okay.
All right. So it's what are we up to now? 5-2.
5-2.
You're winning. I think you're smarter than a fifth grade cricketer. Last one. What? This is another easy one. What lasts longer, a New Year's Eve hangover in hours or the average England Ashes innings?
A New Year's Eve hangover for sure.
Yep. Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award. All right, here we are in the Moeller Award. This is our award for crazy, ridiculous, underappreciated things that happened in the world of cricket over the past week. And I think we have five nominations.
Five nominations. Do you want to let go with the first one?
The first one is Bruce Oxenford, one of the umpires in the BBL, and he's decided that he's going to signal the start of the power play super boost or whatever it's called by not just making circles with his arms, which is ridiculous enough, actually. Yeah. It's kind of a weird...
That's the traditional power play signal.
That's used, right. Yeah. Here's the power play. And the power play happens at all different times, so it is exciting when the power play is, surprise, another two overs of the power play.
Yep.
Anyway, he doesn't just end the power play by going into a neutral position. He ends it by doing a peace sign with his fingers and then pulling them across his eyes.
So it's like the John Travolta move in Pulp Fiction when Travolta's dancing terribly with Uma Thurman.
That's right. So do you think he fancies himself as John Travolta?
I don't know, but it's certainly more personality than you see in most umpires. It's a little bit entertaining for Bruce Oxenford.
Well done. It's a good idea, and everyone else should try and come up with a unique move.
Well, I've got a nomination from, what is he now, Lord Ian Botham?
Oh, God. Does this one involve pictures?
No pictures on this one. This is picture-free. This is Lord Ian Botham talking after the test. He was quoted on a website saying, "Top order is a major worry," talking about England, one presumes. "We've tried two combinations so far and it just hasn't worked. Alex Lees was over here with the Lions, scored a good 100 in trying conditions and he went home and he was all in a bluster about why would they send a kid who'd scored a good 100 for the England Lions, why would they send him home?" And then my favourite part was the article parenthetically said, "Lees actually made scores of 2 and 1 in the tour match against Australia." So I think England's punditry is about as good as their batting at the moment.
Yeah, that does explain a lot about how they choose their top order, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, how many has he made? At least 100.
I think it was a good 100. It was something with a 1 in it. Yeah. Let's select him.
Yeah, it's very good. What else have we got?
So we have, COVID everywhere. We have to nominate the amount of COVID and the fact that it was coming out. I mean, it's not really underappreciated. I think people appreciate this. But it was kind of funny when England's net bowlers went down. That was and they couldn't train.
Yes.
We also had the Cricket Australia boss, Nick Hockley. We had David Boone, the match referee. We had the English coach, Chris Silverwood. Mm-hmm. Are we getting a bit of a picture about who goes drinking with each other?
Maybe. Well, Travis Head went as well, so... I like the idea of Travis Head having a few drinks with Chris Silverwood, David Boone and Nick Hockley.
That's a strange trio.
A super spreader group.
Yeah. Super spreader. And, of course, you only super spread when you're, yelling, screaming and singing. Maybe they went to a karaoke bar.
What an experience that would be. I mean, we know David Boone likes a drink, but who knew that the others were so keen on singing along with him?
Yeah, that's right. So what's going to happen? I mean, Boone is the only one who can toss the coin, right?
I think Pat Cummins gets to toss the coin. I think Boone just oversees it. But now somebody else gets the delightful side of seeing Pat Cummins up close tossing a coin.
Well, that's more exciting than anything England selecting. Who's going to be the match referee tomorrow?
I don't know. They did name it. I can't remember who. But presumably he'll have COVID by tomorrow anyway, so. It doesn't matter.
Depends who he drinks with.
Yeah.
What songs do you think David Boone would sing?
Oh, it'd be Aussie songs.
Would it be Working Class Man?
Yeah, it'd be Working Class Man. It'd be Down Under. Yeah.
Well, I want to hear Chris Silverwood singing Down Under.
Yeah, that'd be very good. And you know Travis Head. Travis Head's got the big filthy mo, so he'd be belting out as many, you know, Cold Chisel songs as he possibly
could. Horses. Horses, oh my God.
All right. We've got COVID also doubles up because COVID's not just in the Ashes series. COVID's also made its way into the Big Bash.
Well, it is everywhere.
So most of the Melbourne Stars managed to get COVID. But before each Big Bash game starts, the fielding team runs out and they usually give caps to little kids of age, you know, 3 to 8 who are jumping up and down excitedly receiving caps from their heroes. Mm. Glenn Maxwell had to run out, give those caps to those kids and then say, all right, you're playing this match for the Melbourne Stars.
You get your cap, it takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah. So they were beaten by the Renegades, which shows just how far they'd fallen, the poor old Melbourne
Stars. I mean,
this
is so clearly a unicorn event if the Renegades are beating the Stars. Yeah. It's. I mean, the Renegades have beaten the Stars in previous seasons, but they're pretty dire this season. So yeah. I think you know that it's a really poor situation if the Stars can't beat the Renegades.
Yes.
And I do like the idea too that that all of the Melbourne Stars are so close that they're all socialising together. Not Glenn Maxwell.
No, yes. Yeah, Glenn Maxwell is like in a private helicopter or something.
It's like, well. I'm not coming to the bar with you guys. There's too much COVID around.
Yeah.
What else have you got?
We've got some footage of people bowling who you wouldn't necessarily – retired cricketers bowling. So we had some footage.
Well, that's always good when you're short of net bowlers.
Yeah. So Justin Langer was bowling to Andrew McDonald's son in the net. So Andrew McDonald, I think, is the assistant coach or something at the moment. Mm-hmm. Can't keep up with all the changing roles. But
Andrew McDonald's son, presumably age 5, has been selected for the Melbourne Stars.
Yes. So Justin Langer bowled to him and actually managed to bowl him, beat him with one of Langer's dreadful spin deliveries. And he gave him a decent send-off too, which you'd like to see. So there was a bit of talk about Langer and Swepson might play at the SCG together as Australia's new spin twins.
Yeah, why not?
But even better than that was footage that was on Brett Lee's Instagram account, which was Brett Lee bowling in backyard cricket. I think it was actually on the front pavement in front of their house. Mm-hmm. And he just uprooted his son's middle stump. He just let unleashed.
Was it a cartwheeling stump? Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Lee's not showing any mercy. He showed about as much mercy to his son as he did with Piers Morgan that time he broke his ribs.
Yeah,
so,
fantastic.
So that was Brett Lee.
I do have a memory of our son getting your father in a similar way.
That's very true, yes. Yeah. I think he got just about my entire family in like 4 consecutive balls. Everyone dismissed.
And everyone was bowled, playing late.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. So there we go. So there are our nominations. Who do you think gets it this week?
Well, I think the umpires are underappreciated. I think we should give it to Bruce Oxenford. He's got a nice positive. Well, not a COVID positive, but a nice positive.
Not literally positive.
Yeah. A nice positive event. You can't give anything to Ian Botham just in case he's got a picture in there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, the only other possibility I thought was maybe we give it to Steve Smith, send it through the elevator doors via Marnus and he can have the Mueller Award despite not being officially nominated.
It's quite flat, the Mueller Award.
Yeah, it is, So well, maybe we'll split it. We'll tear it in half. Marnus can deliver half to Steve Smith and the other half can go to Bruce Oxenford.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's where we'll wrap it up for this week.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Dan Liebke at Lieb Cricket if you want to find him on Twitter. And Kat Jones, I'm at CricketBatCat and you can find us at Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter.
Yes, or you can go to our website, can'tbowl.com, and find links to everything there, including Kat, who will again be on Guerrilla Cricket for the fourth test.
And you can go back, I think, 8 years and find our massive archive of a whole lot of things, including, I think, probably the same quiz that we might have done.
Yeah, see if we can track it down. see if we did any better on the quiz the first time. All right, speak to you next week. Bye.
Podcast Network.